Let's get back in the Word of God tonight and continue these studies. I want us to go back, right back to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to do a very, very short, very brief a recap of some of the things that we have already talked about, and then I'm going to press further as the Holy Spirit grants me grace here. All right. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Are you there? It says, but my God, this is Paul, God's servant, writing to the church in Philippi. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It was definitely a revelation to Paul who his God was, and the power and the ability and the grace that his God had that he made available to him. And Paul was writing in the prison, from prison, but he was writing from a place of sufficiency. Very strange, very unusual. Someone is in prison with all the things that come with that, and yet he's writing from a place of abundance. Because in verse 18 of that same scripture, it says, but I have all and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. Actually, in verse 17, in the Amplified, it says he was appreciating the robust gift that he got from the brethren in the Philippian church. And he said to them, not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit. And then he puts in parenthesis, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. I really love that. I love that phrase very much. He says, I am thankful, not because I'm looking for a gift, but he says, but I'm looking for a fruit. I'm eager for the fruit that increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. So we, as a child of God, you do have a heavenly account. As God's children, as God's covenant people, we all have heavenly accounts. And our heavenly accounts are either being accumulated in or being depleted. And Paul is saying to the Philippian church, I'm very happy because I can see there's some accumulation going on in your heavenly account, which is what guarantees the harvest of blessings that the Lord is going to send into your lives. It guarantees the harvest of blessings that the Lord is going to send into your lives. Now, we established last week, took some time to talk a lot about this, the fact that one of the very crucial things we need to learn about the fundamentals of divine provision is that divine provision is a journey, not an event. If you are just joining us and you haven't been with us in the previous lessons, I do encourage you. We have this on our website, and I know we have it on some of the other platforms that I mentioned earlier. I encourage you to get those previous teachings and just get a foundation for where we are and where we're going. But we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8 last week where Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he was saying to them, you know how the Lord has led you on this 40-year journey. And we established last week, divine provision is a journey, not an event. Unfortunately, a lot of believers relate with divine provision as an event. They're constantly thinking, what I can get from God, how I can meet my need, how I can solve the financial needs that are in my life. And there's nothing wrong with desiring that our needs are met. The Lord wants to meet our needs. The Lord, that's one of the things that we're going to dig into tonight. We already know this. We know this truth, but I want it to be more than just knowledge of truth. I believe the Lord wants it to be more than just something that we are aware of, but that it becomes a revelation in our lives, that this knowledge of this truth, that the Lord desires, the Lord is committed to meeting our needs. Actually, I'm going to give you a little thing here. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. God is eternally committed to supplying every need in my life, in every season of my life. The times may change, but God remains the same. I'm going to say that again. Excuse me. God is eternally committed to supplying every need in our lives, in my life, in your life, in every season of our lives. The times may change, but God remains the same. So divine provision is a journey in every season of our lives, in every dispensation, every phase, every cycle that we experience on our journey. The Lord is eternally committed to supplying our needs. It is definitely right as His children that we expect that He meets our needs. Paul said, "My God shall supply all." He didn't say a few. He didn't say most. He didn't say many. He said, "My God shall supply all your need. All your need." So it is right. It is definitely right. There's nothing wrong with expecting that the Lord supplies our needs. There's nothing wrong with looking up to Him as our provider. He is our great provider. Amen. There's nothing wrong with even having the desires and the wants and the longings that the Lord will get involved. However, these desires, these wants, these longings must not be seasonal. And they must not only be provoked by the existence of these needs in our lives. We must cultivate a consistent relationship with the Lord, like Moses was telling them in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, "You remember how the Lord led you." And I'm not going to read that now because of time. I really don't want to give time to that tonight. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 1, he says, "You remember how the Lord led you through this wilderness, and how He allowed you sometimes to hunger, and sometimes He allowed you to have experiences that were not very comfortable." He said, but He had a purpose in doing that. And I shared with you last week that I could absolutely relate with that. Almost, when the Lord ministered that to me, it became almost like, it was like a rhema. It was a rhema word to me, because it's been almost a 40-year journey. And I could relate with everything that Moses was talking to the children about, the children of Israel about in that scripture. And he was saying to them, remember, God has a purpose for everything He does. So yeah, times change in our lives, but God's purpose and God Himself remains the same. So it is extremely important that we align with the purpose of God. What was the purpose of God that we learned last week from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3? It says that the Lord wants you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how man lives. So that means that that's one of the most important things we can learn on this journey. That man does not live by bread or by provision, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the most important thing in our lives is not provision. The most important thing in our life is not bread. The most important thing in our lives as the children of God is the Word of God. That's how we live. The word of God is how we live. Amen. And then, of course, in verse 18, Deuteronomy 8, he said unto them, the Lord gives you the power to get wealth so that he might establish his covenant like he spoke to your forefather. So we understand the second purpose of God in the area of divine provision is that God wants to bless us in order to make us a blessing to the people around us so that he can establish his covenant with Abraham. God wants to bless us so that he can use us as a blessing to others around us and in our generation so that he can establish the covenant that he made with Abraham. So it is very important. Keep in mind, divine provision is not an event. It is a journey, and it is not based on a formula. It is based on a relationship with the Almighty God himself. So I'm going to say that one more time. Divine provision is a journey, not an event. It is based on a relationship, not on a formula. I remember I said last week, it is a journey that involves faithfulness, obedience, trust, generosity, diligence, wisdom, and many more things like that. Many more attributes like that. It's a journey that involves faithfulness. Over time, the Lord wants to help us develop faithfulness. Faithfulness in our lives generally, but faithfulness in material things. Faithfulness in finances. And that only happens over time. That cannot happen within a few hours. And the Lord wants to help us grow in faithfulness. He wants to help us grow in our obedience. In our obedience generally to his word, but also in obedience where our needs are concerned, where finances and things like that are concerned. He wants to help us grow in trust. He wants to help us depend more and more on him. Trust more and more on him. He wants to help us grow in generosity. Really, the way the Lord wants to walk with us until he builds a solid foundation of generosity and obedience in our lives, it's going to be very difficult for him to entrust the blessings of prosperity to us. I'm going to say that one more time. Until the Lord builds the foundation of generosity and obedience in our lives, it's going to be very difficult for him to entrust us with prosperity. So he wants us to grow in those areas. He wants us to grow in diligence. There's no prosperity for a lazy person, a slothful person who won't get up from the bed, their bed and go put their hands to work, diligent work. So prosperity or divine provision is a journey that entails and that includes and that involves all of these things. God is our good shepherd, not our good magician. God is not a vending machine. We established that last week. He's not, we don't, you know, give him our 25 cents, our 20 minutes of prayer, and hey, here come all the provision that we need. I need $200, spend 20 minutes with him, here come the $200. And that's not the way the Lord operates. The Lord wants to walk with us as our shepherd. And as he walks with us as our shepherd, he leads us, he directs us, he guides us, he protects us, he preserves us, he promotes us. All of that, he does all of that as he provides for us. Can somebody say amen? Now, many believers fail and falter in their expectations because of this one area than most other areas, just because most of the time we're in a hurry. And I've been there. I can definitely relate with that. I remember when everything in my life I needed God to do right now, and it took me a while to learn. Just like Moses said to the children of Israel, it took me a while to learn to walk with the Lord, to learn to trust God. That even when I don't have that now, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned me. It doesn't mean that God is no longer faithful to me. It simply means I'm still on the journey. And at some point, those needs are going to be supplied. They're going to come. Now, don't get me wrong. Even though I say divine provision is not an event, it is a journey. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that God isn't in the business of miracles, like we can receive substantial, supernatural, sudden miracles, just like that. Yes, God does things like that. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. But he does things like that when we're on the journey. Divine provision as an event will happen periodically in our lives as we progress on our journey with Him. So we can't sit back and hope that our provision will come just when we need it. We can just come to God with every need we have. I need $1,000. I need 200. I need 100. I need 10. But we're not paying attention to our journey with Him. No, we should not do that. We can't do that because the Lord is a faithful God. The Bible says He's faithful. He's faithful and He desires to cultivate the spirit of faithfulness, the character of faithfulness in us as His people. So yes, God does that. God does miracles. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm so thankful. I serve a miracle-working God. How about you? I serve a miracle-working God. God is still in the business of doing miracles. As a matter of fact, I have a line here, a little quote. You don't have to write this down right now because at some point, I'm going to give it back to you again when we read a couple of other scriptures. And then at that time, I'm going to give it to you so you can write it down. But you can note it if you want. God is Jehovah Jireh. He can provide anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Let me say that one more time. God is Jehovah Jireh. He can provide anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. God has no limits. In fact, in a 24-hour period, God can change the trajectory of our lives. Suddenly, God can erase cycles of lack and cycles of poverty that we may have experienced in our generation, in previous generations. God can unravel those cycles in a 24-hour period. And we've seen that in the Word of God. He can unravel those cycles in a 24-hour period and change the trajectory of our lives permanently forever. He can bring us from poverty, impoverishment, lack, insufficiency into more than enough in just the snap of a finger. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Remember one time in the Old Testament, He said to them, by this time tomorrow, and everything changed in that entire city by that time tomorrow. So there's nothing the Lord can do. So please don't get that wrong. However, it is important that we focus on our journey. All right, that's good. That's all the recap. I think even with that recap, I've already added something. So if you are excited, which I believe you are, if you are excited about this journey and making progress on this journey, then let's keep on going together. Amen. Now, I made a statement earlier. I want to make that statement one more time, and then I want us to read a couple of scriptures that actually show that this is the truth of the Word of God. And these are statements that were born out of a revelation that some of God's servants had and obviously wrote it down. And I want to encourage us to focus on those revelations and make them our own revelation as well. So remember earlier on I said God is eternally committed to supplying every need in my life and in your life, in every season of our lives. The times may change, but God remains the same. I want you to know God is so committed to this long-term journey. God is committed to the long haul. He isn't committed to just an event. Yeah, I know as desperate as we are sometimes to have our needs met, to have a breakthrough, to get out of some bind or the other, God is committed to bringing us out. But in fact, God is committed to the long haul. God is committed to us eternally. God isn't just committed to us in our lifetimes. He's committed to us beyond our lifetimes. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Remember He said that in John 14? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He says, in My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That God is eternally committed to the provision and the well-being of His people. Amen? Amen. Now, I want you to read a couple of scriptures with me in the Psalms. Psalm 37 and verse 25. Let's read that first. Let's try to move along here quickly. Psalms 27 And verse 25, actually, I'm going to read that. I'm going to read it from verse 23, because I love reading those, the three verses of scripture, or actually four of them, maybe. I love reading them together because it puts everything in context. This has been one of my bedrock scriptures from the beginning of this year. Psalms 37 from verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered, the Amplified says, they are directed, ordered by the Lord, and God delights in his way. It says, even though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And then David said in verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I love that. David said, I have been young, but now I am old. See, he's gone on this long journey. I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed. Notice, God is eternally committed to the provision that he needs to make, he desires to make, that he has prepared for his people, for you and for me. God is eternally committed. He isn't just committed for a few months, a few years. He is eternally committed. He's not just committed for a lifetime. He's eternally, so that even our seeds, the seeds coming behind us, there's already a provision made for our seed. David said, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will never forsake you. That is the promise that the Lord has made. He will never forsake you. The Lord will see to it that every need in your life is met. But notice though, from the very beginning there, he said the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. So you see the connection of some of these things as we move on in our lessons later on. If God is not your light, it can't be your salvation. If God is not your light, it can't be your provision. If God is not your light, it can't be your preservation. If God is not your light, he can't promote you. If God is not your light, if God is not your light, he cannot be the good shepherd that he wants to be to you and to me. Amen. So he says, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor is he begging for bread. Now I want you also to look at Psalm 34 and verse 10. I really love this. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Look at what it says. You know this scripture very well. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The young lions, they do lack and they suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord, the righteous, you and me, he says we will not want any good thing. The Amplified says the young lions lack food and suffer hunger, but they who seek, inquire of, and require the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of his word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is another Psalm of David now. So this man walked with the Lord for quite a while. You know that, you know, from a teenager. And from a teenager, this man walked with God. He knew the Lord. He knew not just the principles of his word. You remember? Amen. You remember, it was the one God anointed. God is prophet to anoint. When Samuel arrived at his father Jesse's house, and Samuel saw the prophet saw Eliab, his oldest brother, David's oldest brother, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You know how sometimes we can be deceived by the things we see? And the Bible says God judges after the heart. He doesn't judge after the outward appearance. And sometimes you can think something is wow, something is there, something is just great, something is just awesome. And in there, it's really rotten bones, and you just don't know that. So the Lord isn't moved by what he sees or what we see or the appearance of things. David knew that. David knew that he was the one who was called from the sheepfold. He was anointed in place of his eldest brother. And he walked with the Lord before then, and he walked with the Lord long after that. He knew the ways of the Lord. David did. Now, David says here, the young lions, and I really like this, because you know, the young lion is an expression of strength. David knew that as a shepherd boy. You remember when he said to, when he went, now he after he had been anointed, he came from the sheepfold to the war front where this monster of a person, Goliath, this silly man, was there, boasting in his ability and what he would do to the people of God. And David showed up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David sized him up all the way to everything behind his garment. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is attacking the people of God? You remember that story, right? But you also remember that when Saul, the king, started trying to talk to him about, oh, you can't do it, you're a little boy. You know, David said to him, King, this is not my first rodeo. Yes, I'm a little boy, but I've been walking this road with this God for a while. And you remember he said to him, when I was in the sheepfold with the sheep, and the bear came, this lion and the bear came, and they tried to steal and they tried to attack the sheep, and I went after them, he says, and I killed them. And he says, it was the Lord who delivered them into my hands. And he says, that same God is going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine to my hand. Glory to God. David knew the Lord. David walked with the Lord. He had history with God. He walked on a journey with God. See, that's why that journey is so important. It wasn't just an event for him. It was a journey. It was a journey, a journey, a journey, a journey. Now, this same David is telling us here, the young lions, because these young lions, there are two things about them that make them really important here where provision is concerned. Number one, the young lions are very strong and agile. But also the young lions have dependable channels. They have a covering in the older lions, right? The mother lion, the father lion. So he's not just able to get his resources, he also has dependable channels that can provide his resources. But David said, even those young lions, they lack and they suffer hunger. Can you wrap your mind around that? He's strong. He's the strongest animal in the jungle. He can get anything he wants. He can go anywhere he wants. He can get any animal he wants for his prey, for his food. And yet David said, they suffer hunger. Even the young lions suffer hunger. They have lack. They have needs. He said, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I like the way the NLT describes, it doesn't just say that the young lions. It does, even the strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Even the strong young lions. Do you know you can have all the ability in the world? You can have all the connections. You can have all the qualifications. You can have all the relationships. You can have all the abilities and everything. And you can have all the dependable channels like the strong young lions. You can have all the dependable channels and you can still go hungry. That's what David is telling us. David is saying our abilities don't guarantee our provision. Our qualifications, thank God for them. Praise God for the blessing of our qualifications. Praise God for the blessing of our abilities because God gave those abilities to us. Amen. And what David is saying is not discounting. He's not discounting the strength of the young lion. But he's saying even that does not guarantee that the needs of the lion is met. So he's saying the only way there's a guarantee for the needs of the lion to be met. The only way there's a guarantee for the needs of a child of God to be met is that they walk on this journey with this El Shaddai God, who has all the abilities. He has every means. He has the wherewithal to provide every need that we would ever have in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. That should be a revelation to every believer. Even the strong young lion sometimes go hungry. But they that seek the Lord, they will not lack for any good thing. They will not be deficient. Amen. I like the way that NLT puts it. Even the strong young lion sometimes go hungry. Even the strong young lions. But they that seek the Lord, that's you and that's me, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go back for a minute there to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And I want us to highlight one very important thing in that scripture. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where does God get the resources from? His riches in glory. Where does God get the resources from that he needs to meet our needs? His riches in glory. How does he do it? Who does he use? The Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. These two things are extremely important. Where does the Lord get the resources from? His riches in glory. Remember, his riches in glory, there's no recession there. There is no economic downturn there. Amen. God does not lay off people in heaven. There's no unemployment there. Hallelujah. No follow. Glory to God. He doesn't downsize. He doesn't cut his budget. Not in his riches in glory. Where does he get the resources from to meet the needs in the lives of his people? His riches in glory. See, there needs to be a transition in the life of a believer who is going to enjoy the benefits of divine provision. There needs to be a transition in our focus, where how we perceive things, how we see things, how we look at things, and where we expect our blessings to come from. Where does God get the resources from to meet the needs of his people? His riches in glory. How does he meet those needs? Who does he use? Through Christ Jesus. Now, this is very important because I want us to go and read in Genesis a few verses. I'm going to stay there just within a few verses. In the story of Joseph, I have found over the years in my study of divine provision and how God can meet the needs of his people, even in difficult times. And wow. What a good time to be reminded of these eternal promises, eternal truths in the Word of God. We live in troubled times all over the world. The times are desperate. People are going through. All of us are going through. Amen. The assurance we have is the assurance that the word of God has given to us. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord will deliver. The Lord will deliver. So we know no matter what we go through, and we know in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All this. Now the assurance we have is that we're walking with the Lord. Amen. The Lord is eternally committed. And his resources are not limited to this earthly plane. Where are the resources? His riches and glory. Who does he use to meet our needs? Through Christ Jesus. Now, the story of Joseph, and I'm just going to have us read a few of those verses. Over the years, as I have studied it, in times, I remember that one of the times that this became a major revelation to me. I mean, I've, you know, over the years walked with the Lord and learned, you keep learning. And even now I'm still learning. I'm sure I keep learning until I go into heaven. I'm sure. But I believe it was in 1996. We lived in Nigeria at the time, was a missionary in Kaduna, an under pastor in a ministry in a church. And I remember for some length of time, this probably went on for months, where I just sat around the story of Joseph. And I think at that time, I think it was a recession around the world at that time, but it was really bad in Nigeria at the time. It was really, really bad. And that's when we learned words like austerity. Those are not words I hear people use anymore, but way back then, those words were very, very popular, very common words, austerity versus prosperity. Austerity just means, you know, just lacking. But for several months, the Lord had me sit around the story of Joseph. And out of my studies and the revelations and different things that the Lord gave to me in 1996, came a series of messages that I actually titled 419, because it came out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. 419 had a connotation in Nigeria at the time. It wasn't a very good connotation, but that was a very good caption for that series of messages that the Lord gave to me. But the real depth, the real thing about it was the deep revelation that he helped me see in his word. Studying the times of famine, not just in Egypt, but all over the world at the time, especially in Canaan, where Jacob and his children lived, and all over the world. And years before this famine began, the Lord started to prepare to sustain his people. Years. And one of the things he did was he arranged for Joseph, who was going to be his instrument. Joseph was going to be his instrument. The Lord was preparing Joseph to be the man over the storehouse. Now listen to this. When we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." How? By Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is over the storehouse in heaven. His riches in glory, that's under the jurisdiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He controls all the riches in glory. In the time of the famine in the Old Testament, years before that famine took place, God started to prepare Joseph to be over the storehouse of the wealthiest nation on earth at that time. That is, Egypt was going to control all the wealth, but it wasn't just the wealth. Egypt was going to control all the provision, all the resources, and all of those resources God was going to raise up this man named Joseph, and Joseph was going to be over the storehouse in Egypt. Now, in that storehouse in Egypt, now I hope this doesn't bore you. This is foundational. I want you to patiently with hearts that are open and willing to learn. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister something to you here, because I know sometimes people can get really bored and edgy and start, you know, fiddling around when you are not, you know, huffing and puffing. But we do need some understanding. This revelation can change your life. It changed mine. For years, the Lord was preparing Joseph, and he started that in the early years of Joseph's life. And through a journey that spanned multiple decades, the Lord eventually, you know this story, so we're not going to read all, but I'm just giving you this preamble so we can read a few verses in Genesis 45 and Genesis 47 and clinch it tonight. But at least you have a foundation, and the Lord can help us pick it up from here next time. A journey that spanned multiple decades, the Lord finally got Joseph to the storehouse in Egypt. And Joseph became the man in the land. The entire storehouse of the wealthiest nation on earth in that generation was under the control of Joseph. Now, I encourage you to go back and read a few chapters, maybe from chapter 37 or maybe a little earlier. Read the story of Joseph, how he got sold into slavery, how his brothers, you know, whatever, what they did, how at the beginning his father gave him a coat of many colors that created envy and jealousy. He got sold into slavery, got sold into Potiphar's house, how he was accused by Potiphar's wife and put him in prison, how in prison he interpreted dreams for the baker and the butler. They forgot about him. Eventually God gave dreams to an ungodly king, Pharaoh, and now they remembered him, and God brought him out to interpret the dreams, and the Pharaoh said, you are the man we need. You are the man who's going to control the storehouse. This is the story. You know the story of Joseph, but you know, I encourage you, just read it, just to refresh. I want you to see the hands of God walking through that journey. Ultimately, the Lord was preparing to provide and take care of his people through this man, Joseph, when the times of famine came. All right, now, you know that story. Let's go read a few verses in Genesis 45. Let's go read a few verses here in Genesis 45. We're going to read in Genesis 45, and we're going to read in Genesis 47 as well. Now, in Genesis 45 and verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Hallelujah. It says, for these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are still 4-5 more years to go, in the which there shall be neither sowing nor harvest. And God, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in all the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice here what Joseph is saying. Joseph is saying, long before you did what you did, talking to his brothers, the Lord created a plan for our sustenance. The Lord created a plan. Oh man, this became such a mighty revelation to me. And I pray and I pray and I pray that it can be such a revelation to you, and even greater, that this can explode in your spirit. Do you know, long before, I'll say it to you more when I get to some of those scriptures. But do you know that long before you arrive at your need, God already had provision waiting? As you walk on this journey, as you and I walk on our journey with the Lord, long before we arrive at every need in our lives, every need in every season of our lives. Actually, I'm going to read this to you verbatim from my notes. You don't have to write this down, but I'm going to write it at some point. I'm going to come back to it, and I'm going to give it to you again when we get to 1 Kings 17. God commanded your provision long before you arrived at your need. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. God commanded your provision long before you arrived at your need. God, I'm going to say this. I wish I had the time to say this 100 times. God commanded your provision long before you arrived at your need. You just need to follow his directions to where your blessings are already waiting. You just need to follow his directions to where your blessings are already waiting. God commanded your provision long before your need, before you arrived at your need. God commanded your provision long before you arrived at your need. Do you know, every step you take in your life, every move you make is significant. I know we did and we'll still continue on to do lessons on divine guidance and divine direction, and teach on some of the basic fundamentals and some of the very important things about that. And sometimes I know as believers, it's easy, like I said earlier on in our lesson tonight, in our service tonight, it's easy to relate with things as events when they happen. But actually, God looks way, he sees way beyond momentary events. God is constantly putting things in place, making provisions, making preparations for us. Do you know 5 years, 10 years before you arrive at a need, God may already have commanded a provision? Before Abraham arrived at where the Lord said, no, don't kill that boy Isaac, where he called, oh, this is Jehovah Jireh. See, this is Jehovah Jireh. Don't touch that boy. Don't touch him. And the angel said, don't touch him. And the Bible says Abraham lifted up his hand. Right there was a ram caught in the thicket. Do you know God commanded that provision long before Abraham arrived at that need? That provision was made a long time. You know, the steps we take, the moves we make. Right now, many times, they may not seem that consequential. They may not really. In fact, some of the steps we take and some of the moves we make, sometimes we even think we're making them based on some things we know right now. But there are just so many things we don't know that are about to show up. There's so many things we have no idea about. And yet the Lord always knew. The Lord was always aware. And the Lord prepared Joseph to be the man over the storehouse, so that when the famine hit, God could use him like he uses Jesus to supply all the needs of his brethren according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think we should read a couple more scriptures here before we call it a night. So still in Genesis 45, and Joseph said to his brothers, so it was not you, that's verse 8, it was not you that sent me here but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. But that's not it. That's not all there is to it. In verse 9, he says, now hasten and go up to my father, and say to him, thus saith your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And then he said in verse 10, and you will dwell in the land of Goshen. Say that word with me, Goshen. Goshen. I love the word. You will dwell in the land of Goshen, and you will be near unto me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. Look at verse 11. And there I will nourish you, for there are yet 5 more years of famine, so that you and your entire household does not come to poverty. God made a provision for divine supply for the entire household of Joseph, for the entire household of Jacob, long before the famine showed up, so that when the famine hit, they would already have that provision. They would live in Goshen. Goshen was the place where the Lord had made provision. See, all those years walking through those different aspects of this journey, Joseph had no idea God was taking him to a place to create a Goshen for the people of God. He had no idea. But finally, when the time came, Goshen appeared. The people of God, Jacob and his family, arrived in Goshen. They took over the land. And in that bubble, it's like a bubble. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love that word. I didn't think about it before this service. But you know, if you follow basketball, the NBA in the United States, the NBA has created a bubble, a league bubble. So the players don't, except for extreme situations, they don't go out, they don't come in. It's a bubble. But in that bubble, I think I saw a news flash earlier today. So far, there are no COVID-19 positive cases in that bubble. Maybe they still find one or two as they go. But so far, no, I think maybe in the last month or so since they've been there, I think, no COVID-19 cases in that bubble. That bubble is in Orlando. And they're playing the games. As you know, if you're following, I gotta stop. My time is almost up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us tonight. I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but thank you, Lord, you gave us grace. They are playing all the games, winning. Those who are winning are winning. Those who are losing, and they are working towards the championship level and all of that in the bubble. The whole nation, the entire nation, is talking every day. We have records of how many COVID positive tests there were, how many deaths. Sad to say. But in that bubble, there's no COVID. In that bubble in Orlando, there's no COVID. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no poverty. No job loss. No follow in that bubble. Child of God, as I close here tonight, I want you to know God has created a bubble for you. And he didn't just suddenly, it's not an emergency bubble. He'd been preparing this bubble long before you got here. There's a bubble for you. Now, the Lord is having us learn these things, not just for now, not just for this year, but God knows what's coming 5 years from today. There's another bubble. God wants to take us to that bubble. Joseph brought his father and his brethren to Goshen, to the bubble. And in Goshen, there was no famine. There was no lack. There was no poverty. There was every abundance that they ever would have needed was in Goshen. God has Goshens for you. Not just today, not just this year, 2020. There are Goshens being prepared for you. We just got to walk with him, because every step we take, every move we make, he's leading us to our Goshen. He's leading us. God, let me say one more time as I close here. It's 9 o'clock. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for helping us tonight. in your future, the provisions that have been made. That's why it's so crucial, it's so important that we learn to walk with this God. Long before you arrive at your need, at your next need, God has commanded provision. There's provision for us in this season. Now, it may not come just like that. It may not come just by when you blink your eyes. It may not come just you clap your hands. It may not come just, you know, you go to your mailbox in the morning. And it might. God is not limited. But even if it doesn't, I want you to have an assurance. God has a plan to take care of you. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? Glory to God. I don't know what to do with myself. Time is gone and we got to stop. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for being a part of this study. I've enjoyed it. I've really been blessed. Even a new revelation, that bubble revelation, I just got that right here as I'm teaching this lesson. That didn't come to me before now. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. So I can go process that some more. Amen. I hope you've been blessed. I hope you received something. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just thank Him. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you for your presence with us in this Bible study, in this service tonight. Thank you, God, for giving us understanding. I speak the blessing of heaven over my brothers and my sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice, wherever they are. Father, we accept the bubble that you have created. We choose to live in that bubble. We choose, Father, to bubble in the bubble. We give you praise, God, for every blessing that you've made available to us. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.